Welcome to the BT Brands Q2 2023 earnings call. Our host for today's call is Kenneth Brimmer. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. I would now like to turn the call over to your host, Kenneth Brimmer. You may begin.
Thank you, Jen, and welcome to everybody on the call today, on the BT Brands call. With me today is our CEO, Gary Taporuch, and I think Gary will have some remarks towards the end of this call, but we're looking forward to discussing the quarter with you. Before we dig into that, I'm going to at least call everybody's cautionary attention that we no doubt will be making some forward-looking statements today. As you're all well aware, these are not historical facts, and no assurance of future performance is assured. Therefore, we caution you all not to rely on any forward-looking statements that we may make today. Our quarter for BT Brands, as many restaurants are, we're on a 4-4-5 accounting period, so each accounting period is 13 weeks. So the quarter ended on July 2nd. If you go to the press release, I'm not gonna reread all of the tabular information that's in that press release, but we did have a bottom line after-tax benefit loss of $375,000. I would say it goes without saying that it was a disappointing quarter in terms of that performance, and it's a performance that we are aggressively addressing right now. I would go back and say, call everybody's attention. I think, for right now, we are certainly a bit of a balance sheet story. We ended the quarter basically with around $7 million in cash and marketable securities, and that excludes another approximately $1.5 million that is sitting in Bagger Dave's, which we own 42% of that. And that is really essentially unchanged from the end of the first quarter. So even though we had a significant loss, it really wasn't a big consumer of cash during the quarter. And simple math will show everybody that that $7 million in cash is a little more than $1 a share in cash. And certainly, our priority is to put that money to work in a prudent fashion. And obviously, as we get it to work and generate more revenue and hopefully bottom line profit, you know, we're gonna able to leverage some of these G&A costs, which also impact us. If you look at the tabular numbers, we run around 13% G&A right now, and that's really too high. We need to get the business growing to the point where that's much more down in the below 7% range and closer to 5%. So that's the long-term goal in terms of growing this business. We have the cash to grow the business, and those of you who've taken a few minutes to study our 10-Q and our balance sheet are certainly well aware we've got a modest amount of long-term debt, a very low percentage of our $10 million in equity. We have roughly $2.5 million, counting the current portion of debt. And we were obviously either lucky or very smart to have refinanced the mortgages on the Burger Time stores before interest rates started to move up with long-term permanent financing at 3.45%. So we've got a very strong financial position. We're in a very strong position to go implement the business plan, which is to look at acquisitions. And we're pursuing things all the time. You know, obviously, most of them don't come to fruition for one reason or another, and we usually tell people at the front end of any of the negotiations that, you know, we're aggressive buyers, and we're, you know, we have the ability to close quickly, which is our main benefit. But we combine that ability with hopefully not paying top dollar for anything. So a couple of comments on the quarter. and I think you're probably hearing this from other restaurants. Certainly, we have seen a slowing of the rapid inflation that we saw last year. It's moderated, and it's actually really benefiting us right now at Pie in the Sky, our $3 million coffee shop out in Woods Hole, Massachusetts, because I think eggs and butter, certainly eggs are less than half the price they were a year ago. And obviously in baking, you use a lot of butter, and that's down somewhat significantly from a year ago as well. So we've seen a lowering of commodity prices, which are benefiting us out there in terms of probably right now a couple hundred basis point pickup in the bottom line operating profit percentage of that business. So that is performing very well. And in terms of the other big thing that restaurants like to talk about, the labor markets, we've seen the labor market, I would say, at all of our locations somewhat more stable. It's not that we have got loads of surplus employees, and obviously for some of the more seasonal places like Pie in the Sky, we're still actively hiring as kids go back to college, and we need to staff up through the fall. But we're not struggling as we were last year. If you recall our conversation, certainly at our burger time in Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, we had weeks and days where we actually had to curtail hours, either close at 6 or close on a Sunday. Where we very simply, at least as the managers reported, did not have the employees to fully staff. That doesn't exist right now. I'm told as of today at Pie, where we keep open, even though we're a coffee shop, we stay open in general in season till 11 o'clock at night to service people coming in and out of the ferry terminal. And it does create some challenges in cleaning the store. And basically, as a significant portion of our labor force is going back to college, I understand this week we're going to close at 9, which is not a material impact on the business, or we'll certainly close the sandwich. We grill our own sandwiches out there, breakfast sandwiches of that style, and that will close at 9 o'clock. So in terms of some of those basic components of the restaurant business, that's kind of our current report. When we turn for a minute to Florida, which is we have two restaurants down there, Keegan's Seafood Grill and the Village Beer Garden, both of those performed in a disappointing manner, and I would say, there's obviously some depreciation and amortization on both of those locations, but certainly where we thought we would have an operating profit through the 6 months of somewhere well in excess, even after depreciation, of $100,000, we were in the area of losing that amount of money at the operating level after depreciation and amortization. So we are in the process of digging through all of the details in terms of where our menu pricing is at, where our commodity costs are at, where our labor costs are at, and I would say, you can certainly hold us accountable as we get on the next call, so write this one down. We're very aggressively turning to get Keegan's on back where we thought we bought it. The Village Beer Garden is a little bit of a different animal. It's a large open space. I'm going to assume nobody's been there, but it's a traditional German. If you were to go to Germany, it's what you might see in a beer garden, a lot of outdoor picnic tables, which give us a lot of capacity. And, I can only report what our team has told me, and obviously I look at the weather every day for all of our locations because, like any retailer, weather does impact the business somewhat positively and somewhat negatively. So our team in Cocoa, Florida, where the beer garden is located, certainly points to the weather this year as having some fluctuations that have hurt business. Now, what impact that's had, we're going to also have to figure out. And then turning to just rounding the horn, a pie in the sky is performing better than last year and certainly better than our expectation. And it's offset a little bit by the Burger Time business, which came out of the pandemic with really unbelievably strong numbers. And it faces the competition of fast food. Now, we've been able to maintain margins in the face of some rising beef costs there. And in general, we've kept our menu costs. As those of you are familiar with the history of Burger Time, we tend to want to be a value provider. We try and be, in terms of our competition, priced just a little bit lower than anybody else, and we've maintained that. We'll probably be looking at a price increase here as we go into the fall because our competitors certainly have been very aggressive in increasing prices. I want to just talk to for a minute as we get to the bottom of the income statement. We pick up our equity portion, our equity in Bagger Dave's. Sure most of you are aware, we own 41.2%. Of Bagger Dave's, and that has been, again, the loss, but the loss is, for the most part, cash, a non-cash loss. It's depreciation. It's and our equity in the loss certainly made up a significant portion. If you look at the 26-week numbers, at the 6 month numbers, we had the loss of $375,000, which I talked about at the beginning of the call, and $145,000 of that before the tax benefit related to our equity share in the Bagger Dave's loss. So that's also, if you want to line up our priorities, aside from the number one priority, aggressive investing the capital that we have in a way that generates a return that is acceptable, and that's a high return. And number two is fixing Florida, which we're aggressively working at pursuing steps in both of those locations to improve results. And the number three is, and this is a big priority, is to really look at the Bagger Dave's business, which is principally over in Michigan, also in Indiana and Ohio. But our goal there is those stores are, and we've had a lot of, I would say, friends, people in the restaurant industry who maybe have ideas for us. Probably four different groups go over and tour the six Bagger Dave stores, and the reports have been consistent as can be. A, the locations are pretty good. Some are better than others, but generally the locations are decent. The properties are in like new condition. They're in very good shape. They're not run down, and the staffs are in the restaurants are all reasonably good in terms of the interaction that people had with them. Now the problem with Bagger's, as we've assessed it, is really a problem with the concept. So we're in the process of pursuing some other concept, and we've looked at and discussed internally several different alternatives. My own view is we could change it to almost anything, and we would probably get a 30-40% increase in sales. And, those of you who are quick with a calculator, if you take those six stores and multiply it by even a reasonable sales effort, which would be an average of $1.5 million, and certainly we have the capacity to do over $2 million in all those locations, but let's just say the six times 1.5 million is $9 million, and that's we're able to generate 15%, and it's tax sheltered, that drops to the bottom line in those locations. That's a pretty significant impact on BT Brands financials, and obviously would be building cash that we could put to work inside of Bagger Dave's. So that's Again, we've sort of been talking to people and considering things, but I think we're, as we get in the second half of the year, are going to take some aggressive steps to reposition all of those locations with something that is newer and more exciting in terms of the consumers' desire to try what we're doing and to participate as a regular customer. So that actually I'm pretty excited about, because I think that solves a problem both at BT and obviously allows us to build cash in the Bagger Dave's public company, which we own 41.2% of that. So that's kind of a rundown of where we're at, and I think hopefully, obviously we're in a very enviable, strong financial position. We've got the ability to move forward and do take advantage of opportunities. I mean, certainly when you look at Florida, where we put our toe in the water, we've got some stores that are not doing what we'd like to see, but it's also not killing us. It's not going to put us out of business. We're obviously going to be able to weather the storm as our cash stays roughly the same, and we look for ways to put that to work. We also know that with interest rates up, we're going to probably see a second half, unless we find an opportunity to take advantage of some higher interest income on our available cash balance. So with that, I know there's going to be probably some questions on our interest in Noble Romans, which is included in our investments, and the proxy fight that we went through. And I'm not going to bore you with all the details as to why our votes got excluded. We did collect significantly more proxies than Nobles did, although we were not allowed to nominate Gary Copperwood to the board, which was our desire, because we hoped that Gary would be a catalyst for change. And I guess from our standpoint, and I'm going to let Gary add a few words on that, as we have said in the press in Indianapolis and have said publicly regarding our investment in Noble Romans, although things could change any time, certainly it's our current intention is not to go away. We're going to stay with it. That's our plan, and we think we have the opportunity next year to perhaps elect multiple directors and to definitely influence the outcome of our investment. So, Gary, do you want to add anything on the Noble side before we throw it open to questions?
Well, just commenting on it a little bit is that, we were only running for one out of five board seats, and so we didn't plan really on any significant changes other than holding the directors accountable for their actions, in which they've continued to dilute the existing shareholders with employee stock options, which mainly went to the insider executives that are already overcompensated. And at the end of the day is that over a 10-year period, they've diluted the existing shareholders by up to 23% of the outstanding shares. And they're all approved by, or not getting them approved by outstanding shareholders. So that was pretty significant in addition to their overcompensation. That being said is that we have the ability to fix what their problems are. And the main problem is really twofold. One is the overcompensation of what management takes out for a large portion of their years and not fully disclosing what that full compensation is, and the other is that just their usury rates on which they're borrowing money at, in which we feel that we can get bank financing with paring back their $1.6 million of interest costs at 15% round numbers, is that we have the ability to change that. What is significant only from the standpoint is that we made a investment in the company of, I don't know, $500,000 plus or minus, which is not big in relationship to their our liquidity that we do have on our books, but we have significant ways in order to lower that cost significantly. And we anticipated that it was probably going to run over two elections before we got much done from a board level, because the independent board members are just not acting as fiduciaries to the outside shareholders, is basically rubber stamping to the existing management that they've done for a number of years. So at the next election, because there wasn't a quorum, is that there's going to be three out of the five board seats that'll be up for election, and we plan on being there doing what we did this year, next year as well. And, you know, anything can change from all kinds of different things with these, with the characters that are currently involved in it. But and we look forward to significantly having an impact when we do have three board members on it next year, assuming that we have the same 75% of the existing shareholders that vote for us. The company did state in their 8K that they had 9 million shares that voted for them, in which on our tabulations is that the two officers that are also board members ended up voting their 3 million shares and plus or minus another 500,000 shares by the board of directors that voted for them. So on the tabulations that we have is that we feel that they probably ended up getting 4 million votes, and we ended up getting roughly about 10 million shares, because pretty much the existing shareholders have seen over the years the 90% decrease in stock price and the decline in shareholder equity has gone 50% of it or 40% of it has gone to the insiders to no benefit of the existing shareholders. So how they can give out all of the stock options each and every year and the compensation that they give the people, we think that it's way outside of the box of being normal. So other than that, I think we can open it up for questions.
Go ahead, Jen. You can see if there are any questions out there.
Okay, thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. You'll be placed into the queue in the order received. Please be prepared to ask your question when prompted. Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your phone now. And once again, that's star 1 to ask a question. And Mr. Brimmer, it appears there are no questions at this time.
Okay.
I would say a quick a couple more quick closing the loops is that one of the things that Ken had talked about is that the $3 million or $2.5 million that we have on debt is against the real estate at roughly about 50% of what the appraisal value was. So our debt is tied with what we've had a fair amount of appreciation as on our real estate, and that was a fixed cost of about 4.5% for 10 years is what that we've got mortgages that's the only debt that we've got with the company.
Okay. Gary and I are both available. I think our phone numbers are easy to find. If you have a question following this call or want to follow up on specific items, but again, we appreciate everybody joining us today. We appreciate your interest
Ken,
in BT Brands.
Ken, I think there's one more comment that both Ken and I are almost shocked about is that we went into Noble as a, you know, as a shareholder because we saw value there, and what is significant to us is that in spite of us reaching out and willing to lend them some money to pay down that debt, is that we have yet to get a simple phone call on how we can help them when we have the ability to, in order to do it. So that was the other significant thing, I think, that really shocked and surprised us is that nobody from the company has ever reached out to us.
Okay. All right. Which is true. Jen, thank you for hosting, and thank everybody for joining. And we look forward to speaking with you and being held accountable to those priorities as we head to the end of the third quarter. So I thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
This does conclude today's conference call. Thank you for attending.